Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God does offer true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and that is Basic Gospel. We invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Christmas is just around the corner. It's December 25th. That's the day we celebrate the birth of Christ. No one really knows the date he was born. We've just attached that date.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. But there's some interesting things in the Word of God around that event, the birth of Jesus Christ. There's this angelic announcement to Joseph. Can you imagine just kind of going through your day and all of a sudden an angel appears?
No, I can't imagine that. Scared
to death. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And this is out of Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, starting in verse 20. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Here is this announcement of Jesus being our Savior. And this is what he saves us from, our sins. That's what we need rescued from. Sin had dominion over us before we came to Christ. We were under its power, under its control. We needed to be saved from ourselves, basically, and that's what Jesus Christ did. And his name is that story. That's what his name means, the one who saves from sins. That's what Jesus does. And here's three ways in which he does it. First, he frees us from the punishment of sin. We see that in his death, don't we, Richard?
Yeah.
He stood in our place. He stepped into our shoes, and the punishment that was headed toward us, he diverted and turned it aside, and he took it upon himself. And so we're freed from the punishment of sin. He also releases us from the power of sin. We see that in his resurrection.
Yes.
He conquered sin and death. He was raised, and just as he was raised physically, he raises us spiritually, and now we're under the control of his Spirit. He sends his Spirit to live inside of us, and we are free to be led by him and experience the fruit of his life in and through us. And then eventually he's going to remove us from the presence of sin. That's when we get our resurrected bodies, and we're going to be in his presence forever. And in his presence there is no sin. Right. That's going to be a marvelous day, isn't it? But just in this simple angelic announcement to Joseph that he's going to have a son, and that he has to name his son Jesus, is the most elementary part of this gospel. It tells us that we can be released from our sins and have forgiveness once and for all. That truly is good news.
And that is Basic Gospel, and this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, hi, all my wonderful holy brother saints. You know, I've been wanting to call y'all since yesterday, and you read Ed's email, and maybe some people will fall out of their chairs when I say what I'm going to say, but our ministry is so wonderful, Basic Gospel. And you use the terms many times, simple. You know, what is shown us in the Word of God? Well, I got to thinking about this mark of the beast. Well, we talk about how we are marked as Christians. We're marked with the Spirit of God living inside of us. And when Jesus returns, he says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to judge the world of sin because what? Because they did not believe in me. Well, we can go all the way back to Genesis and bring it all the way through the narrative, and that same thing with God's relationship with man was due to unbelief. I really believe that the mark of the beast is as simple as this. Unbelief is the mark of the beast. And it's not so much for us to see, it's what God sees. And God's going to know who is his and who isn't his. And it's all going to be based whether you have believed or you don't believe. I mean, I think that's pretty simple, and I think it unties a lot of knots.
Well, it's simple, and it's I think it's biblically accurate.
Yes.
I mean, as far as like Ephesians 2 talks about our condition apart from Christ, we're dead in transgressions of sins in which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That word disobedient is tied to faith or unbelief. It correlates, parallels with unbelief. We have this spirit of unbelief in us before Jesus Christ does something about that. And that's
right.
He does through his grace. He saves us by grace through faith. So that's a wonderful thing, Brad. And I think when we can distill it down to those basics, this gospel message really comes to life for us. And a lot
really
of these
does.
These troubling passages in the Word of God get clarified. We get some understanding on what he's saying. So we can sift through all the clutter and just get right down to what's truly important as far as God is concerned. So,
you know, I was in church Sunday and everybody was talking about, they were talking about salvation. And then they started talking about all this sin and all their, basically what they were talking about is all these choices that come up to them every single day. And they have to do this, they have to do that. And I got to ask or say to them, that, you know, God's made it more simple than looking at all these, you know, the dirty dozen, the nasty nine, all these kinds of things. I says, we believers have a choice now. The unbeliever doesn't have a choice. He's just ruled by the flesh. But every single moral decision comes down to one choice and one choice only. Either we're going to choose righteousness or we're going to choose to go by the way of unrighteousness, the flesh, the devil, whatever you want to talk about. But it boils down to it's a single choice, and it's determined on do you go and
it's just that choice of faith.
You choose you believe God or you don't believe and don't trust, and you go for the flesh.
Yeah. Well, Brad, thanks for jumping on today. We always love hearing from you, my friend.
I love you guys, and thank you very much.
You're welcome,
Brad.
Bye bye.
Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Agnes, who lives in Columbus, Ohio. I'm sorry, Cleveland, Ohio. She says, I am slow in my mind and can't focus. My mind is scattered. This is all involuntary. I want to be free. I so desire to be able to accept the God the way God made me. What can we share with Agnes that can help her?
Well, there's hope in the gospel message. I mean, these bodies of ours, you know, all of us have some sort of dysfunction as far as this body is concerned. No one is a picture of perfect health. They may be for a short period of time, but they're going to suffer some physical malady. That's just the way it is. Others experience greater degrees of that, and it sounds like Agnes is one of those. But if she has ability to reason, she has the ability to respond and receive God's grace and be saved. And God can give truth that can anchor her in this life. Maybe there's things going on up there that we really don't know about, but there's going to be a point in time where she is going to be set free from that. She's going to get a new body. And that's great news. That's our hope. And we all hope for that. These bodies are still subject to sin and decay and death. That's just their nature. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we're going to get a brand new body, a spiritual body that's going to be absent of sin. And absent of death, it will never die. It will put on immortality. So our hope in those situations is simply the gospel message. What Jesus has promised through his death, burial, and resurrection is that we too will be raised bodily and can experience a complete salvation in Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to Tony in New Bedford, Mass. Hi, Tony.
How are you, sir? Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good
I have a question. The last gentleman that just called in regards to the Antichrist, which is one of the things I always get confused about, in my personal opinion, from what I read in the Bible, it doesn't make sense to me that the Antichrist would just be a matter of, you know, believing in the Lord, because people have always had that option throughout the ages, whether or not to believe in God.
Well, the the Antichrist, there's the spirit of Antichrist that is in this world. So Satan was Antichrist. That's what caused his rebellion in heaven, that he knew that all praise, glory, and honor was going to go to the Son. And so he rebelled against that. He wanted some of that praise, glory, and honor to be diverted to him. He wanted to have a prominent, the preeminent.
No, I understand
just follow me, though, Tony.
Yeah.
So he came into this world, and he deceived Adam and Eve. And now there's this spirit of Antichrist that is controlling the world. Everything in the world system is moving people away from Jesus, not toward Jesus. That's the spirit of Antichrist, and that's here in this world today.
No, absolutely, but that's always been the case, is what I'm saying, because in the book of Revelation, it's the last book in the Bible, and that's pertaining to the end times that, you know, the Antichrist will be let loose in the world, and, you know, he'll have a number of a man, the 666, and, you know, 664, and he will deceive both bond and slave, and, you know, he'll go out and deceive all the nations and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, it seems like a particular event that's taken place, not something that's already happened throughout history, because that's, since Adam and Eve, like you're saying, that's always been the case. We've always had that free will and that choice, and we've been sinning since then. So, I mean, how could that be the case? But anyway, I don't want to get on that one, because I have a question for you. Like yesterday, I was listening to your program, and someone was talking about a daughter that had died in a car accident at the age of 18, and would she recognize her in heaven? And I got kind of confused about that, because I don't understand why we would have a God that would create a family and grandparents and the whole holiness of what a family is, and then get to heaven and not recognize who they were. That means that'd be kind of cruel. But at the same time, when the Bible talks about when Jesus returns and we live with Christ on earth for that 1,000-year reign, I mean, who do we live with and where do we live? Do I still live in New Bedford? I mean, do I know my wife? Do I live with my son and my daughter with me? I mean, how do you think that whole thing is going to play out as far as, you know, those who are in heaven now versus those who inherit the earth? The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth, and we're supposed to reign with Christ on earth for that 1,000-year reign, and Christ shall rule with an iron rod. So what happens there? I mean, any insight you can help me out with?
Well, Tony, as far as our relationships in heaven and in this new Jerusalem, they're going to be built around Jesus Christ. So he's created a family. He calls that family the church, the called out believers. He calls that family a temple. He calls that family a body. There's several different ways that he looks at it, but within that, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And that relationship transcends any and every human relationship. As wonderful as a relationship between husband and wife, it pales in comparison to that relationship that I will experience with my wife in the heavenly realms. The fact that we are brothers and sisters in Christ will be far superior to what we are able to share together as husband and wife. We get to have some aspects of that brother-sister in Christ relationship here. That's going to be taken to the next level in his presence. So it's not that we won't know each other. We will know each other. But we'll
know each other. I'm referring to, like, you know, the United States of America, for example. We take the North American continent, we take people in Australia and Africa and so on, and Europe, and on and on and on it goes. I mean, we're not going to live in Jerusalem. So, I mean, the continents are still there. So, I mean, do I live in Massachusetts or, you know, what happens? I mean, do I just get totally, you know, redirected somewhere else and I don't recognize anything anymore? I mean, how does that work? It's really confusing, you know?
Well, I don't know about the 1,000-year reign and all of that, what that's going to going to look like. Here's what I do know. In chapter 21 of Revelation, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So this new Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven. It is going to occupy this new earth, and that is going to become our dwelling place as believers in Christ. And it will be the dwelling place of God here on this earth. So what that looks like, how that is mapped out on the planet, I'm not really sure. But that becomes our dwelling place. So no longer will your address be New Bedford, Mass. Your address is going to be New Jerusalem. That's where you will abide. Now, I can't give you any more detail than that.
Well, I appreciate it, because, I mean, I just some clarity is better than nothing, I guess. I don't think anyone really knows exactly how it's
going to happen.
Exactly
right. That's why we just have to stick with what the Word of God has to say and realize that it's going to become clear at that moment in time.
Just as human beings, you lose your loved ones here and there. Like, I had a brother that was born, dead. And I never got to meet him. And you just kind of wonder about these things. Like, geez, are you going to be able to see a family? Or
Tony, I think you'll get to meet him. And you'll get to know him for who he is in Christ.
Yeah.
Which is much better than knowing him just as a family member here. That's what I'm saying. That relationship that we have one with another because of the work of Christ far outweighs any other relationship. Right. That's going to make it even more precious to us, knowing that he was your earthly brother, but even more so, he's your spiritual brother in Christ.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I mean, like I said, it's a great help just to know you guys are there. When you have these hard questions, some clarity is great, and I really appreciate you guys.
Well, Tony,
thank you so much.
Thanks
for
calling today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life. Would love for you to have it as just our way of saying thanks for jumping on board with us today. You hang on, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
And, Bob, for our listeners, that's available for a gift of any amount to the ministry right now. Simply go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Forgiveness, the Door to Life.
Yes. You know, Richard and Bob, there's lots of confusion out there in the Christian world.
Uh-huh.
There's so many messages, mixed messages, do more, be more. All of that
have more.
All of that is so prevalent out there, and we get confused over the very basic, simple, powerful truths of this gospel message. This gospel that really is good news that brings joy to our hearts. And I think where we start, as far as the confusion is concerned, is right around this forgiveness issue.
Yes.
I know that was confusing for me in my life. I wasn't sure that I was totally forgiven, even though I would articulate Christ died for my sins. Somebody would ask me, what's the gospel? Christ died for my sins. Did I know what that meant? Absolutely not. So what did I do every time I sinned? Well, I tried to get that sin forgiven. And there was, just in my own mind, a path that I needed to take in order for that to occur. But I never felt forgiven. I mean, even though I had done all the things that I thought I was supposed to, check those off, I still never felt forgiven. I still always worried about punishment, that somewhere down the road, punishment was going to come to me. I didn't know what form it would take. I didn't know how severe it would be. But I just knew that punishment was around the corner. I lived in fear of that. Well, did I know that Jesus had forgiven my sins? Absolutely not. I said I did, but in my heart, my mind, I wasn't very sure. So I think this is an important issue to get cleared up in our minds. Yeah. And once we get this cleared up, then we can walk through this door to life and experience all the wonders of God's grace and the riches of His love on a day-to-day basis. But if you're struggling there, I guarantee you the obstacle that's keeping you back is this forgiveness issue. So let's get a hold of this book, Forgiveness, the Door to Life. If you're struggling, if you're wondering if all of your sins have been forgiven, this book will help clear it out. It's simple, it's easy to read, it's filled with stories, has just passage after passage after passage of Scripture that just hammers home the point that Jesus has taken away our sins once and for all, and it's yours for a gift of any amount this month. The Basic Gospel.
Simply go online, as I said, to basicgospel.net, a prominent link on the homepage, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. We got a question from Michael, who lives in Neptune, New Jersey, says, the continuing presence of God through His Spirit, once we've received Him, is not volitional on our part, but by covenant. Seeking Him, however, requires an act of the will. Since the Scripture tells us that no one seeks God, but rather that He seeks us out, it would seem to me that no one could seek God except a born-again believer. Is this a foolish notion? I know that there are times when I don't readily accept what the Lord is doing in my life, and at such times I wouldn't say that I am seeking the Lord, though I know He is ever-present in me. If fellowship with God is broken at any time, it isn't His doing, but mine, as a result of an unbelieving or unwilling attitude. Am I way off here, or does the Lord tell us to seek Him, knowing that no one actually will?
There's a lot in that question,
sure
isn't there,
is.
Richard? Several points. The issue of fellowship. Can we be in and out of fellowship with God once we're saved? And I don't think the Bible addresses that at all. It says that if you sin, you're out of fellowship with God. It just simply says that you've been called into fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. So if you're saved, you're in the fellowship. I think that's an important issue that we get confused with. I've pictured God up there on a swivel chair. Every time I sinned, He turned His back on me, and then every time I confessed, He turned back around. And I know a lot of people have had that idea of God, and that all stems from this thought that if we sin, we're now out of fellowship with God. But that's not the case. Now, as far as a lost person, we can seek for answers. We can look for truth. We're not necessarily seeking after God, but we're seeking after something. We know that something is wrong. And that's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, to seek and you will find. What are you going to find? Well, a surprise, and that surprise is Jesus Christ Himself. Mm-hmm. And in Christ is going to be salvation and the gift of God's Spirit and the gift of God's forgiveness are all contained in Him. So if you're troubled in your heart, if you're troubled in your soul, that trouble is compelling you to seek something. You're looking for answers. You're looking for that something that will fill that hole in your heart. You're not necessarily seeking for God, but you're seeking truth. And if you're seeking truth, you're going to find that truth in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But then when we come to Christ and we have God's Spirit in us, we hunger to know Him even more,
yes,
to grow in that relationship. And I think that's true of every genuine born-again believer in Christ Jesus.
Well, we want to say thanks to Brad and Tony and for everyone who tuned in to be a part of this particular edition of Basic Gospel. Thanks to Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, as always. Just a quick reminder to piggyback on what we were saying a little bit earlier. We have a great little booklet that Bob has been talking about, Forgiveness, the Doorway to Life, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828, that's 1-800-727-2828, during Central Time office hours, and ask for the Forgiveness booklet. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage. That's Forgiveness, the Door to Life, our brand new little booklet that we really kind of like. I want you to have a copy of it too. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You know, the other resources we talk about are also available. You'll find those at our website, store.basicgospel.net. Again, store.basicgospel.net. Also, for late news about the ministry, including upcoming events and new study resources, click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net to join our email list. And as a favor to us, if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. We're here every day for no other reason than to serve you, our listeners, in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, your phone calls are the reason that we are here every day. And we'll be back tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, Bob, and I invite you to join us. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.